welcome also from my side to all relatives, guests, friends. Best of welcome. I've known this gentleman and gentlelady for quite some time. As you know, I came to the UK in 1980 and was more or less here full time up until about 5-6 years ago. And I think all of you are, everyone here knows something about Krishna consciousness. The unique feature of the social aspect of the Krishna consciousness movement is distinguished somewhat from Krishna consciousness as a faith or as a religion. Just as if the real name when you come here, well, you see Karana Bhavan, but actually underneath it says International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that was the institution that Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Sesa Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, established 45 years ago almost in New York City, and which spread all over the world. And it's continuing to do so. And in this name, Prabhupada specifically selected that name. He didn't make it the Hare Krishna religion or some other religion. He called it a society. And usually when you talk about a society, we think about we're living in a society here in the United Kingdom, which has, well, it doesn't, about a few countries in the world that doesn't have a constitution. But at least it has laws. And the laws themselves define social norms. It establishes the rights of citizens. It also establishes their obligations. And people enjoy rights on the basis of fulfilling or completing their obligations in a society. And in that society, a lot of temples here and mosques and synagogues and so many other places of worship, religion has one place. It plays a role. Similarly, when we talk about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we're actually talking about a society of like-minded individuals, because that's what a society is, by dint of the fact that they're following common rules and they have common rights and obligations, they're also have things in common. That's what makes them a community. When I use this word community, people who have things in common. So not only when we talk about International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not only are we talking about people who have their religion in common, but their lifestyle is also in common, and the rights and the obligations that they derive from being part of that community. And that community generally, in terms of a traditional social nomenclature, it's called the Varnashram, which is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita but described in much more detail in Vedic literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam about what an ideal society is. Many people have concepts and ideals of ideal society. Hitler had one. That wasn't such a good one. Of course, neither was Marxism such a good idea of an ideal society. And there are other, these were both more or less atheistical societies. There are others which also strive, generally speaking, people strive to live in an ideal social structure. But in our modern world, these social structures either become completely devoid of God, or at least they're secularized, that God doesn't play any role in anything. they plays a role in religion, and that's it. But religion shouldn't be involved in any other aspect of life. So when we say Krishna Consciousness Society, it means that the values of, well, as I mentioned, Varnashram, it meant that there are four orders of life. Four orders of life, which means that generally what we know are students. Then when people are no longer students and they have to work, then they get married. At a certain point, they retire. And then, although it's not either so much recommended and not so much in practice, but then they can renounce the whole world. So this is the four social orders and spiritual orders. And then there's also the way in which different people work. And of course, this comes under what is often sort of misunderstood to be the caste system, or what the caste system has degraded to in modern day India, where people according to their nature generally fall into four different types of occupation. And those are workers, handicrafts, and so on, artisans. Next to that are those who are traders, bankers. Well, bankers, that's not a good name nowadays, but anyway, they also fall into that category. And then administrators, people who manage, because everything needs to be managed. And ultimately, there's the teachers. You could use the word intellectual, but people don't like to think that someone's an intellectual, because the implication is that others are not. But anyway, there are those who are teaching, those who are actually sharing different types of knowledge with others. And therefore, in this social order, social structure, this second order of life, which is called Grihastha Ashram, is someone who actually maintains a household, who maintains a home. It's an interesting explanation, or it's an interesting term, in that Grihastha means someone who has a house, someone who has a home. It means the others don't. This is the one who does. A student, a brahmachari, brahmacharini, or children, they don't have their home. They're still living in the home of their parents. The ownership is the parent. When someone then retires, the idea is that actually they should sort of devolve themselves from too much, at least house duties, family duties. They should decrease the duties that they have at home. Maybe they maintain the house, but everything else that comes along with it, this is what we call nowadays when you retire. You're still living in your house, but hopefully your pension hasn't dissolved into the financial crisis, and you still have something to live off of. You don't really have to work. You don't have to put that type of same effort into it. So anyway, but Grihastha means someone who actually maintains a home. And the maintenance of a home, generally speaking, is a full-time job, or even more than full-time, unless you've got very good karma and you can make ends meet or live very, very comfortably just by working a mere 8 hours a day or a few hours a day. And so Srimad Bhagavatam describes that this endeavor to actually maintain one's own home generally tends to be counterproductive for spiritual life, because it demands so much energy, time. Energy and time go away, that means your absorption goes to wherever that energy and time is. And the whole essence of religion or Krishna consciousness is smartavyam satatam vishnu, is to always be able to remember or think about God. But if you've got to think about bills, if you've got to think about your home, if you've got to think about the plumbing, if you have to think about leaky roof, which is a real problem around here, then you don't have so much time to think about God anymore. And therefore nowadays we see that people have, which has become such a very difficult thing in order to just maintain. And of course, we're not talking about maintaining the bare necessities of life, because unfortunately, there's more than just the bare necessities. It means that you've got to maintain a television in every room. There's got to be three cars in the parking lot. Everyone has to have their own mobile phone, and mobile phones have to change every 6 months. And what to speak of computers and so many other things that go on. So nowadays, when we talk about maintaining a home, we're not talking about the bare necessities of life. This wasn't what Adrian saw when he came up here. It wasn't that people in Glasgow were sitting in a television behind their television. They were living very, very, very sparsely. They were making ends meet. Now we're doing much more than just making ends meet, although the quality of our life hasn't necessarily changed. So when we talk about marriage here in the Krishna consciousness movement, then of course the natural question comes up, is this going to be counterproductive for spiritual life? And then the answer is, well, no, or at least hopefully no. Because it depends in terms of how much one actually becomes absorbed in this business of maintaining the house and the family. Is it meant to be maintained at a maximum? In other words, all out. Whatever they got next door, you got to have it and it's got to be better. Or is it just supposed to be to maintain the minimum? Minimum means you need roof over your head, you need to stay warm, you need to be able to eat. But the general experience is that the more you make, the less you eat. Your eating ability doesn't increase with your income, but your digestive ability generally decreases because people are in more and more anxiety, generally the more and more that they're trying to make. So even if you eat, then you don't even get much benefit from that eating. But household life in Krishna consciousness means to be able to actually focus our time and energy in maintaining ourselves in such a way that it doesn't become the only focus, that it doesn't distract us from thinking about Krishna. It doesn't distract us from our religious duties. And maintaining that balance, well, that's a real thing, balance. Balance is something that, you know, it's rare that you just like this all the time. When you think about balance, you're always thinking about like this. Of course, if it goes too far like this, then you lose your balance. So balance stays within certain parameters. And because of the needs of this day and age, there always has to be a certain degree of adjustment. But ultimately, what's required is a balance between maintaining what we need to live and at the same time maintaining our spiritual values so that we're achieving the purpose of life. Because after all, what is all this society all about? What is all this religion business all about? Why should we be working so hard? What is life for? At least it has to start with knowing who we are. That's supposed to be the start. Unfortunately, for most people, that doesn't even end up being the end. Start meaning that we are able to distinguish ourselves from this body and understand who we are. And then actually that the goal of life is not to increase all of these... I'm having to think because I'm not in the habit of speaking in English for the consumer. In terms of getting all these consumer items and making the slaves of ourselves for Sony and iPhone and Macintosh and all of these folks, but to actually be very clear about where it is that we want to go. Why are we here in this world? What are we meant to achieve now that we're here? And how do we actually achieve that perfection? So in the language of Sanskrit, it says, Atatva Brahma Jignasa, human form of life is meant for understanding God, for reestablishing our relationship with Him. And that can be achieved anywhere. It can be achieved in any type of work that you do. It can be achieved as a student, as a householder, or in the renounced order of life, but you have to know the science. And so when His Divine Grace established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, He wanted a society who have common values. Their common values are based upon Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedic literatures, and that they also have a common goal. Their common goal is not to become the dominate the world, not to change people's language or make others subservient. The common goal is actually that they should become God conscious, learn how to become lovers of God in this life. And then that will make their life successful. And when their lives are successful, all these other aspects of life, like marriage, that also will be successful. And I think I'll stop there, and I'll let Bhagavad Shri Prabhu continue a little about how to make a successful marriage. Because he's a very successful married household. How long have you been married?
27 years.
27 years. Nowadays, people deserve a clap for that. And then if Bhagavad leaves a little time, Sarva can even speak. But anyway, here is Bhagavad Shri Prabhu, Hare Krishna.